get used to being here with you. There's a beautiful presence of God in this building. And I'm sure today that the Lord has you here because He wants to minister to you. And I'm also very, very sure today that the Lord wants to do more than touch you, but He wants to change you. And I want to be changed. I want more than a church service. I need something deeper than shouting. Amen. And God knows I love to shout. Thank God. I must take a moment to think about Brother Kaysinger for just a second as he introduced me. Brother Kaysinger, when he was a little boy, he was Lawnmower Larry. And he lived catty corner across from me, one house down the street. And you can be seated. I got to reminisce just a moment. I've been a long time since I've been in this section, and so I'll take a moment getting started, but I will get going in just a little bit. And I remember Brother Kaysinger. He was always big for his age. And matter of fact, I feel a little bit like I had something to do with Larry, Brother Kaysinger. I mean, I don't want to say Larry and be disrespectful, but I feel like I have a little bit to do with him being saved because I was preaching the night that his sister received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was there and helped pray through both of his sisters to the Holy Ghost. And matter of fact, I believe I was Brother Dansby's first convert to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Riverbank. Matter of fact, I know I was. And I think the third convert was Myrna Kaysinger. And she was either second or third. And after that, there was a great revival. I've often thought of the phrase, can anything good come out of Riverbank? Amen. And a lot of times people credited me to the Modesto Church, but I'm truly a product of the Riverbank Church. And I think the seed was planted in Brother Kaysinger's heart from that very same place. My. Isn't it wonderful where God can find people? Isn't it wonderful where God can reach down and where God can do His work? It's amazing where people came from and where they grew up. Amen. I remember many, many years ago, Brother Price preaching at a general convention, and he talked about the Lord being your trainer. And you didn't have to come from a cathedral. You didn't have to come from some stately place with the right city name on it and the right population and the right money people in the town. But you could become your best if your training was in an old barn. And what made the difference was who your trainer was. Amen. What made the difference was how you submitted to that trainer, how you let him work upon you. In that message, I remember Brother Price making a statement. He said that they asked the young man that was being trained. I think he was using the illustration of a boxer. And he said, are you any good? He said, I don't know. You have to ask the one that trained me. Can you win? Ask the one that trained me. Amen. I'm glad for our forefathers that put some training in us. Amen. Praise God. Brother Dansby was a great man of God. He went home to be with the Lord several years ago. And I have to say this, and I mean this with all of my heart. There's sometimes I miss him so much. There's sometimes I still miss him so much. And if you ever knew Sister Dansby, I know you'd miss her because she was the life of the party. Praise God. When Brother Sullivan asked me to come and speak to you, I thought, now, Brother Sullivan doesn't know what he's getting himself into. And I had a feeling that he had an idea that I would preach a certain line. And maybe that would be in the areas of faith. But I feel something much deeper in my heart today. And I feel the Lord is calling us to something that is deeper, something that is real, something that is rich. Faith is real also. Amen. But there's even things that are beyond a commandment, and that is love. And there's things that are beyond faith, and that is love again. Amen. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak to us today. And so without much hesitation, I'd like us to turn to the Word of God. We'd like to open your Bible today to the book of John, chapter number 2. I'm going to switch microphones if it's okay. Very, very wonderful to be with Brother Pugh, and very wonderful to be with Jerry Jones. And I never dreamed I would get on the ticket with these two. Praise God. Thank God. I was thinking about this, and I better not say what I was really thinking exactly, because someone will take it wrong and it might get to headquarters. And I don't want that to happen. But let me just be suffice to say this. It's wonderful to be with all of you wonderful saints of God. And I want the Lord to speak to your heart today. It's wonderful to be with you great, great brethren. And it's just wonderful to be with you, Brother Sullivan, Brother Bledsoe. I haven't preached in this section for quite a number of years. I think I preached in Greedley fellowship meeting, maybe Ridley then, if I pronounce it right. And you're going to find out there's a lot of things I don't pronounce right. Amen. I might say Mater's Taters is and ain't, but I know when I feel it, and I know when it taint. Amen. Thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was touched last night when a young man came up to sing. I think he was a little bit nervous when he came up. And this young man began to sing, and I didn't even know whose son that was. And that young man had a little shake in his hand. But I noticed as he started singing that the Lord began to minister. And he sang about, "I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary." Amen. Calvary's a beautiful place. Calvary's a wonderful place. There's something about the preaching of the cross that's different than any other preaching. It seems to bring with it even a difference in spirit that, and the effect of the way it touches the people. I've never truly ever in all of my life ever heard a bad message about Calvary. I've never heard a message. I've never been any place, I might say it this way, that could change me and do for me what Calvary is able to do for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed that we shall be able to conquer through the cross of Calvary. Amen. I'm not ashamed that all authority that we have, that we have it through Calvary. Amen. Matter of fact, I might touch on this later today. There really is no throne that is higher than the throne of the erected cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our Jesus refused to have a kingdom that was a crossless kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Our Jesus refused a throne, or he refused authority aside from the cross. Amen. Amen. Any attempt of any of us to build any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Amen. And it'll lead to destruction. It'll lead to despair. But Calvary is the right place to build. Calvary is the right place to be. Amen. Calvary and the spirit of Calvary. Amen. If we can go deep with the Lord today in this service and let the Lord do what He designs to do and what He desires to do, it'll take everything else higher, even tonight and tomorrow and the next day. The amount of revival that God is able to give to us is going to depend upon the depth of repentance that is underneath that. Amen. The amount of restoration that God is able to do is going to depend upon the brokenness of our spirit and how it leads way to the Spirit of God to be able to lead us and to guide us and to be able to direct us. Let's go to the Word of God. Reading from the book of John, chapter number 2. Verse number 4 says this, "Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Then just a few pages over in John 7, verse number 6, "Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." A few pages over again in John chapter number 8, verse number 20. "These words spake Jesus as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him." Notice this, "for his hour was not yet come." The last verse I'm going to read is from John again. I love the book of John. Verse number 23 of the 12th chapter. 12:23. "Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." You may be seated. As you sit down, let's lift up our hands, though, and begin to love Him one time. I love you, Lord Jesus. 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 I love you, Lord. I love you, Lamb of God. I love you, Lamb of God. I love you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So ideal was the life of Christ, so given to the cause of God for man's redemptions, that God could glory in it, that God could identify with it, that God could come down and He could sanctify it and love the very thing that loved Him. And the giving of His life and the selflessness of the life of Jesus Christ. In His selflessness, we find that Christ could give and God could identify with that which was given. Amen. The hour that I have over and over in the scripture I read to you, it said, "Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." And then it says that my hour is come. Amen. I don't know if it's good to always put a title on a message, but I do have a title that fits this message, and that is this here, Life's Finest Hour. Amen. For man's finest hour will come as it came in the life of Christ, amidst pain and in the midst of hurt, in the midst of anguish and also in sorrow. There was something about the crushing of a man that becomes the making of the man. And there's something about the undoing of our plans that becomes the birth of God's plans within our life. There's something about when we cease sometimes, it's the very beginning point when the Spirit of God begins to operate. When we get in the place where we can't go any further and we can't do any more. I remember a number of years ago when I went through a very, very heartbreaking time. And it was crushing me. And we went through something that you ought to never, ever have to go through. But 17 families walked out of our church in one night and not to walk back in. And it was a purging. And people called it a split, but it really wasn't a split. As a church grows, there's just sometimes things that get in that church. And as much as you love them, as much as you care for them, as much as you give yourself for them, you really can't save them. If God can't save them, you can't save them. Amen. And if God can't reach them, you probably cannot reach them. And I don't want to talk about that night by any means, but I remember how I felt inside after that night came. It was like the big building crushed, came down upon us. And it seemed like I was so low as a pastor. And day by day, I would have to walk back into the pulpit, and I'd have to have something to give. And I remember I hurt so bad inside that for a week or two, I didn't go to the pulpit, but then when I had to go back, there was the feeling of the crushing and of the breaking. And one day, about a month after this took place, I was in my car, and my hands were shaking as I was holding on to the steering wheel. You might not believe that, but that's really true. As confident as I might act, believe me, God can get your attention. Amen. And so I remember the feeling as I began to cry driving down the road. And my wife said, "What are you going to do?" And I heard myself say something that I never thought I would hear myself say. And that was this here. I don't know what else I can do. If God doesn't lift this burden, I'll have to resign. I won't have any choice but I cannot go on. But little did I know that when I came to that place, it seemed like there was one final stone that had to move within my heart. Something else had to be broken. And you would think when you go through something like that, as soon as the problems are gone, you would feel better. But I didn't feel better. And the crushing continued. And the pain went on. And as the pain went on and the crushing continued, I remember that feeling that I could go no further. And that was the breaking of me also. It wasn't just the breaking of the church, but it was also the breaking of me as an individual. And as I become broken and as I become crushed, Little did I know the things that God was going to do. Little did I know that for over and over our church had grew to about 200 people. And then for some reason, we wouldn't know why. It was just like a barrier that was there. We would go over 200 and back to 175. And then back to 200 a year or so later and then back to 160 maybe. And then back up over 200, 210, 215. And then back down to 160 or 70 or something of that nature again. And I remember about the fifth time that I went through this, I thought, "God, what is it going to take? What is going to have to happen?" And little did I know what God was going to ordain. Little did I know the situation that I was going to find myself in. I was quite a bit younger pastor in those days, as a young pastor. But God knew what was best. Amen. Little did I know then that we would break through that barrier after that the certain element was gone. Little did I know the church would grow to 300, 400, 500, 600, and somewhere past 700 today. But I look back today, and I thank God for the crushing, and I thank God for the breaking. Are you with me? Amen. I thank God that God chose within my life to do the very thing that He chooses to do in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For man's finest hour will come as it came in Christ's life, in sorrow and pain, and in the crushing will be the molding, and will also be the making. Our life's finest hour will come as it came in the life of Jesus Christ. I remember a preacher preaching one time a statement when I was very young. He said these words, "Unless something big hits you, nothing big will ever be able to come out of you." And I thought, I wonder what that means. But believe me, today, many years later, I do know what it means. Hallelujah. Now, I haven't lived for God as long as some of these men, but about 34 years ago, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. God's a good God. God's a great God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We find this here, that the purest love will flow at the cutting edge of pain. Our best will come out of us in the time of conflict and in the time of pain. It'll probably come when you least understand, but yet you will find that your cross will mount you. Amen. Your cross will find you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the thing that you pray for one day will come to you. Amen. In eternity, there is no hours. Amen. Before God began time, as we know time on the earth today, amen, there was eternity there was eternity that is past, and there's also eternity in the future. There'll be a day when an angel is going to stand with one foot on the dry land and one foot on the sea. He's going to lift, as it were, maybe a silver trumpet, and he's going to let forth a blast, and then time shall be no more. Amen. But in time, we find things that are very different and very contrary to many things that we would like to be. Amen. In time, we find sorrow. In time, we find death. Amen. Now, we find in eternity past that in eternity past there was an hour. Amen. And in eternity past there was an hour. Right after eternity. I'm ahead of myself. We find that there was an hour, and that the hour was pregnant with evil. And it gave birth when Eve ate the forbidden fruit. That's what I wanted to say to you. When Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and the misery of that hour is going to continue. Amen. The misery of that hour is going to go on even until a day when we shall be in eternity again. And the Bible says, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is not quenched. Amen. The other hour was pregnant. Amen. There was 2 hours in eternity, is what I'm trying to say, that eternity gave birth into this life. And one was pregnant with evil, and it gave birth when Eve ate the fruit. But the other hour was pregnant with goodness, amen. And it was pregnant with love, amen. And it reached its finest hour when Jesus was able to say these words, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he died, amen. And he was crowned with a glory that was brighter than light. He was crowned with a glory that was beyond anything that man is able to understand, amen. Hallelujah. Most people are born into the world. They're born into the world to live. But not so with the Son of Man. The Son of Man was born into the world to die. We die because we must die. But He died because He chose to die. Amen. He went to the cross because He chose to go to the cross. Amen. I don't know how it really was, but somehow in my mind, when I think of Him looking into that cup, and I think of our Lord Jesus, amen, that cup held the sins of mankind. You might think the most painful thing about the cross would have been the fact that fleshly He died upon the cross. Amen. But I have a feeling that there was something more painful than the actual pounding of nails. Amen. The jarring of a cross within a hole. Amen. But what was probably more painful than all of that was the clean body of Jesus Christ. Amen. As He looked into the cup and He saw the sins and the murder and the adultery and the hatred and the pride and the sin and the shame that people would have. Amen. And He realized that there was no other way. If there was a way, Father, save me from this hour. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus looked into that cup, it had to be with pain. It had to be with sorrow. I wonder if He shook as He looked at that cup. Amen. Somehow I can see in the hands of Jesus as He reaches all the way back to the time of Adam, and He drags the sin of mankind to the cross, and He reaches to the last people that will live upon this earth, and He drags the sin of mankind, and He looks at it all in that one cup, all together, in one heap, amen, the sins of the world.
And Jesus lifts that cup with hate, not with hatred. He hated to drink that cup. It was so different. It was so contrary. It was so unlike him, is what I'm saying. Amen. But his love made him to do it. His love caused him to do it. Amen. His brokenness caused him to do what no one else was able to do. And he drank that cup. Amen. How horrible did it taste? Oh, I do not know. Did he want to vomit? I do not know. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, that he was willing to drink that cup. Amen. Oh, thank God he was broken. Thank God he was yielded. Amen. Thank God that he was totally given. Amen. In the book of John chapter 12, we read a story about the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And in this setting of Scripture, the Greek people, the disciples, or the Grecian disciples, came to Jesus, questioned him how they might be able to obtain an audience with him. But if you look behind the scenes, what they were really wanting to do was offer Jesus a place where he would be free from threatening. A place where he would be free, as it was, from death or the conflict of a cross. Amen. And oh, how well Jesus knew what their presence meant. Oh, how well he knew what was going to be incurred upon him. Amen. And he knew that the secured happiness of mankind could not come any other way except through his abandonment, except through his anguish, except through the things that he was going to suffer. Amen. Bruised and broken and smitten. Amen. And crushed, as it were. Hallelujah. Well might this disturb him, but so masterfully was his self-command. So steadfast was his countenance, his temperance so consistent. Amen. That we might tend to underestimate this hour. But Jesus cried out in the inner conflict of the turmoil that was in his soul. And he said, "Now is my soul troubled." Amen. "Now is my soul so troubled and disturbed." Amen. But then he said, "But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." This hour stands apart from all other hours. All past hours, as it were, seems to pour into this hour, and all hours of the future seem to pour back, as it were, into that hour. Amen. Hallelujah. And we find this here, that all of men's prophecies seem to lead us to this hour, and they seem to culminate in this hour. All of the hopes of the ancient saints are in this hour, and all of the desires of the ages are in this hour. Amen. And here we find mankind is going to meet, as it were, his finest hour. Hey, amen. You hear of the attainment of things within the world today, and we're living in a day and an hour when things are invented. It just blows my mind, and I can't understand it. The men that are building our church, they put data lines in, and they tell me the things that is able to be done through Cad5 wire. And I think of the inventions that have taken place in just my lifetime. And it's amazing, the things. Men do not have the ability to create, but they take what God created and they invent from the very base elements that God created. And so men cannot really create anything, but they invent things. And men are inventors. And we know within our own life it's amazing. And there's so many things that we don't really understand. We just know we plug it in and it works. And we just know that somehow it gets there. We can't tell you how a microchip is really made and all the process and how it all divides up in that little bitty thing and how it sends signals. And I don't understand how 1,000 people can talk on one phone line and it goes coded it this way, at this end, it comes out the other end, uncoded, it sounds like your voice. I don't understand so many things that are happening around us. Amen. You hear of the attainment that men obtain in their inventions. You hear of achievements in the realm of medical science. And we hear words like wonder drug and miracle medicines and able to stop even the deadliest of some diseases. Amen. And then you hear of the increase of knowledge and the capability of knowledge and all the things that man can do and all the things that man is able to obtain. But not once, amen, not once has man bore his finest fruit. Not once has man obtained to the highest level, amen. Not in the kingdom of Babylon of old, not in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, nor in the Roman kingdom, or in the kingdom of the time of the Grecian empire. Not once has man bore his finest fruit. But here in the death of Jesus Christ, God came down, amen. The love of God is touched here, amen. And the love of God is expressed here, amen. We find that this is so sanctified and so precious that God can identify with it. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus is crying, "My soul is troubled." Amen. There never has been a death like the death of Jesus Christ, because there never has been a life like the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There never has been a death like him. No one ever spake like him. No one ever stopped the lawyer as it was like him. Amen. We sometimes win through conflict and we shouldn't. Amen. But Jesus won without that conflict. Amen. The hallelujah. I'm telling you that Pentecost is a blank until there's a place somewhere where Calvary, amen, is. Hallelujah. All that we obtain, all that we go through in life, all that we might think we are nothing, absolutely nothing at all, unless we are broken, unless we are contrite, unless we are where the power of God can touch us, amen. And the power of God can move, as it were, within us, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There never was a death like this death, because there never was a life like this life. Look at his humiliation. He leaves a throne of glory. No one else left a throne of glory, but he left a throne of glory. Amen. He came to the world through the back door of a livery stable. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hardly a way for a king to come, let alone the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to this world the first time to be spit upon. He came to this world the first time to be mocked. But I want you to know that he's coming again. And he's not coming back to be spit upon. And he's not coming back to be mocked. Amen. He's coming back to be crowned the Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Would you worship him just a little bit? Would you put a little something back in? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. There never was a life like this life, and there never was a death like this death. His hands were rough with labor, but yet at his very touch the blind received their sight. My God, there never was a man like this man. His voice cried in infancy and also in death, amen. But that very same voice could speak, peace be still, and calm the raging sea, amen. His eyes were quenched at Calvary in darkness, amen. Hallelujah. But those same eyes that were quenched with darkness and death, they could also read the unknown thoughts of man. They could also see the future, amen. He wore no costly robe, amen, but at the hem of his garment, as many as touched the hem of his garment were made totally well. There never was anyone like this one, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He trod no luxurious carpet, but his steps were that he stepped upon the sea, amen. Hallelujah. His simple drink was only water, but at his command the water was turned into wine. Amen. No sumptuous banquet entertained his guest. Amen. But from his hands, from 5 barley loaf and 2 little fishes, amen, we find that he fed a multitude from those hands. And all of this was teaching a little lad something. All of this was showing him and pointing him in a direction, and that direction is life's finest hour. Amen. May I kindly and reverently say that it's not one way for you and another way for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not one way for you and another for him. Amen. You will have your Calvary. You will have your day when your cross will, as it were, it will mount upon you. Amen. But in all of this, it points to little lad, and it points me and you to life's finest hour. It was an hour of intense suffering, of the whip, of the nails, of the jarring of the cross, and of the disjointing of the body, amen. No man, it seemed that man had left nothing done to heap shame upon him. They stripped him of his clothes. Oh, my God, I would hate that so much myself. Or I would dislike it. Actually, I'd hate it. Let me say it like I want to say it, amen. Praise God. He was a king, and they planted a crown of thorns upon his head. In mockery of his omnipotence, they asked him, who is it that strikes you? In ridicule of his omnipotence, they challenged him to come down from the cross. Amen. Imagine the spiritual anguish. It almost seemed as if God himself had abandoned him. It almost seemed as if God had given it to him. It almost seemed as if God had turned his back upon him. Amen. And struck him. And the vinegar that they put upon the pole, and they pushed it toward or into his mouth. Amen. Yet in all this darkness, amen, we find that God becomes glorified. Hallelujah. The very stones whose hearts were less hard than the hearts of men, they began to cry out. Amen. Men looked upon him without emotion, but the sun hid her face, as it were, of that very moment. Somebody should give me an amen. Help me a little bit here. But in his death, we find this here, that he revealed what had never, ever been revealed before. Amen. He revealed what had never, ever been really, ever realized before. Matter of fact, when it was taking place, they were running and they were hiding. And they did not understand what he was doing. Amen. But God was tired of being the God behind the veil. God was tired of being the God of commandments. I'm going to tell you reverently right now, there's something greater than commandments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It was when Moses spoke the rock that the hidden treasure came forth. It was when the alabaster box was broken. I thought about that alabaster box, and I thought about that little woman, and I got a thought that I've never heard anybody else preach. But I'll tell you the reason she could bring her alabaster box and break her alabaster box and pour her treasure out before him. He first broke her alabaster heart. With a broken alabaster heart, it was easy to break an alabaster box. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is when the cluster of grapes falls within the wine press that it yields its fruits. And so with Christ, amen. And his glorious attributes would have never been known. His love, he was a God of the Old Testament, but they seemed to know him by as a creator and a redeemer. And every name revealed more about him. But oh, he wanted someone to know him for who he is. He wanted someone to know him for what he is. God is love. God is love. Hallelujah. 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 The secret of obeying Jesus Christ is loving him. Hallelujah. The secret of walking with him is loving him. Amen. You can't live for God until you love God. You can't come what you've got to be until you love God. You can't bypass Calvary and love God what you should love God. Amen. You'll never become what you should become until love mounts you and love takes you and love breaks you and molds you and begins to make you. Ooh, hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This was Jesus' finest hour, amen, when he would meet and satisfy the deepest desires of human heart, even that they themselves don't seem to understand. In this hour, men would be able to find peace with God. Oh, yes! In this hour, man would be able to find forgiveness from God. In this hour, man would be able to be set free from his sin and the bondage and the degradation and the pain and the sorrow and the heavy load that man had been carrying. In this hour, man would find purpose for life. That's why you're here. In this hour, the ministry would be called, as it were, amen. In this hour, people would be sanctified as if they never, ever even did it. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, it's the precious blood of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. May I reverently say to you that this hour, amen, that Jesus is leading me and you to will come upon each and every one of us. Now, hear me. If you didn't hear anything else I say, I'm going to read a statement to you. And I'd like for you to understand this statement, not with your ears, but with your heart. Self-sacrifice is the foundation upon which the universe is built. It is the law by which it operates. If sacrifice were not the supreme law, then God of the universe, the supreme ruler, would not operate by this principle. But because he does, it is as if he is saying, and I want to give you a little turn here in this message. I want to take you a little bit different now, if you'll let me. It is as if he is saying through Calvary, God is saying, this is my throne. Oh, hallelujah. Not only for Christ, but also for you. There is no other pathway to power, and there's no other pathway to authority, but through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan challenged this very principle, and Satan lost. The only people that have true authority over Satan are those who choose to stay on the cross, allowing the cross to keep them from self-seeking, amen, and self-serving, and self-promoting, amen. Oh, hallelujah. We find in Matthew 27, 39 through 42, that Satan offered Christ a crossless kingdom at various times in his life. He offered Christ a pathway to power without the shedding of blood. He offered Christ a pathway without the cross, amen. And we find that opportunity seemed to over and over come to Jesus to go around the cross or to avoid the cross. Matter of fact, even when he was on the cross, they said, "Will he come down from the cross?" Hallelujah. Thank God. I think of the time when Satan came to Jesus. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "This will I give you if you'll just fall down and worship me." Amen. I like the answer. It is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Do you believe in one God? Did you know I just quoted a good one God verse? Amen. "And him only shalt thou serve." Which one is him? Who is the him? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. That makes me shout and happy. Amen. I'm shouting happy to know that it was God that came down. I'm shouting happy to know that it was God that was formed in flesh. Amen. I'm shouting happy to know that God was incarnated. Amen. I'm shouting happy to know. Thank God. The Bible said that the devil believes in one God and he trembles. But we believe in one God and we're shouting happy about it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a one God church that has power through his name. For neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Our authority in the name is in the cross. Our authority in salvation is in the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and worship a little bit. Woo, hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Satan was always there to offer a deathless conquest, a crown without a cross, power apart from suffering, and elevation without humiliation. Amen. The hour for which he came into the world had now struck. Amen. Thank God. In temptation, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Will he come down? Will he answer and satisfy the flesh? Or will he answer and satisfy the Spirit? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another. Amen. Hallelujah. Will he come down? Thank God he didn't come down. Hallelujah. Remember again, my brother, it's not one way for you and another way for Jesus. What it was for Jesus, it's the same way for you. I've heard young people pray prayers like, "God, I want to be like Moses." Do you really want to go on the backside of the desert? Do you really want to walk on a mountain where if a man touches the mountain or even a beast, they'll be destroyed from the very moment? Do you really want to stay up there 40 days and 40 nights and so on? Amen. There's so many that want to be great, but greatness has a price that must be paid. Amen. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Knowing this, that the old man must be crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There will be a Calvary in your life, and there will be an hour that will come. Amen. And it will come upon you, even as it came upon our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm going to come to a close. I don't know if musicians come, or I don't know what you do here in the conference. And I'm just happy to be here with you. Yes. Three times in the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ did God spake with an audible voice. Matthew 3:17, at the beginning, it said this is what was said. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." At Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, this is in the middle of the life of Jesus, and his public ministry had now started. Matthew 17:5 said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But now there's something added. And it says, hear him. At the end of his life, we find, as he turns to the cross, God says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Amen. John 12:23. The hour is come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Glorify thy name. Amen. In some strange and wonderful way, although I might not be able to fully equate it, understand it, put it in a test tube, analyze it out, God's glorified and his name is glorified. Would you allow his Spirit to take you, to make you, to mold you? Could I be speaking to someone today that has troubled the heart of your pastor? Could I be speaking to someone today, and maybe a young girl that's determined to take your life in your own hands and do it your way? Maybe you better take another trip to Calvary. Could I be speaking to someone today that has really wondered and thought about just giving it all up? And could I be speaking to someone today, maybe television is your pet sin, and you feel like you can't stay away from it? No one in the church knows about the videos you've been renting. Nobody knows about what you've been putting before your eyes. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Amen. Praise God. The way to have authority and power, preeminence over sin, is through Calvary. 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 Amen. Amen. You see, Calvary becomes the throne of the universe. Amen. A lowly place. A place of rejection. A place of denial. A place of suffering. But in it all, oh, how glorious. I really feel like when you bow down and say, not my will, with all in your heart, and everything inside you might revolt against that, but you make yourself obey God. Amen. That God gets glory. Amen. There's a light that begins to shine that's brighter than the noonday sun. And it's the presence of God. I'm telling you, it's a great life if you build it at Calvary and if you stay at Calvary. You that have been praying that you want to change and you need something from this conference that will make a difference, this will make a difference. Amen. Hallelujah.